This is PCJ Radio International. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perrell.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of the program. Today, we're going to be talking about the Emergency Weather Service in the United States. Last week, the Midwest was hit by a series of tornadoes, and we're going to be talking about the emergency system in place because it is rather fascinating. We also have information on PCJ's own transmissions to Southeast and East Asia, so stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus. We're just into the summer, and it's now time to just go bleh. Many countries around the world have emergency disaster systems. This is in case of natural disasters or even civil war. Now, many of you may remember the big earthquake that struck off Japan, which caused a tsunami and also caused damage to the Fukushima nuclear power plant. Japan has a very interesting earthquake and tsunami warning system, and this is how it sounds.
これはね、あの、いろんなね、玉すれとか紙切り持ってて、人がブワー来るんですよ。本当に、うわ、よかった、だから、人がもう。緊急地震速報です。強い揺れに警戒してください。動かないぐらい。すごいんですよ。緊急地震速報です。強い揺れに警戒してください。番組の途中ですが、緊急地震速報です。
宮城県、青森県、岩手県、山形県、
That is Japan's earthquake and tsunami warning system. Now, those living in the Midwest, in the United States of America, are probably going to be familiar with this. That's the Emergency National Weather Service in the United States. This service does play a vital role in saving lives in case of a tornado. Now, a tornado is quite different from, let's say, a hurricane or a typhoon, which is what we get here in Asia, in that hurricanes sometimes can be predicted 7 days in advance and it's constantly being watched by satellite. Tornadoes, while they can see tornadoes forming, they can form instantly and last either a few minutes or even a couple of hours. Well, to find out more about the National Weather Service and the communications during this kind of event, we're now joined by our U.S. correspondent, Dan Hensley. Dan, we've seen natural disasters happen around the world. They can either be earthquakes, they can be major volcanic eruptions, they can be hurricanes, and tornadoes are mostly connected to the United States. Now, for somebody who doesn't know about this area, because, you know, you see it on television, and when you look at it on television and you see the map and they're, you know, they're talking about the tornadoes that have hit the ground, it doesn't look like a big area, but this is a vast area, in fact, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's from Texas all the way north to Missouri and even into the southwest corner of the state of Illinois, sometimes even to the northeast corner of the state of Illinois. And, you know, we've seen outbreaks over the last 24 hours now reach as far as way out east to, like, Pennsylvania.
So this is a weather area that is quite extraordinary because you have hot air from the Gulf of Mexico going north, and then you have cold air coming in from Canada. They sort of meet in the Midwest in the U.S., and then all of a sudden these tornadoes appear.
Oh, absolutely, especially in states like Oklahoma, Nebraska, like I said, Texas, Alabama, Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, Missouri. And it just really depends on how the weather system plays out. But I mean, Tornado Alley is that expanse of the U.S. in the central Midwest United States, expanding 1,000 miles north from Texas, and maybe a little more than that, and then 1,000 miles east and west from each other. So it's an expansive territory.
Now, what is the tornado season now? Here in East Asia, we get hit with a lot of typhoons, and typhoon season is usually from the mid of May until the end of September. What about tornado season?
Well, tornado season here usually is, you can say, about the end of March through the end of September, really. I remember one year, about 4 years ago, we had a rare tornado outbreak up here as far north as Illinois, and it was like, I think, the day after Christmas. So it can happen anytime.
And is there any estimates about how many tornadoes happen every season? Because tornadoes are not like say, a hurricane or typhoon that can go on for days. Tornadoes can happen. They last sometimes 2 minutes. Sometimes they can last 30 minutes.
Well, you know, we've seen tornado outbreaks that go as far as 3-4 days at a time, sometimes longer and sometimes shorter. It really varies. I mean, there is no real set estimate because every tornado season is different. You may have a tornado season where you see only a few. You may have a tornado season where you see 50 or more, or even in the hundreds. And that's not even in the hundreds is not even rare.
Now, most countries that will have these kind of natural disasters that are regular occurrences every year obviously have emergency systems set up. And I've noticed it doesn't matter how good the emergency system is or the communication system that's in place, sometimes the unexpected can happen. But let's talk about those who live in Tornado Alley, because tornadoes form really quickly, really, really quickly. What kind of warning systems are in place?
Well, we have our broadcast system, the National Emergency Communications System, and that's not even what they call it, but it's like our national warning system. And, you know, it's just a shrill siren that comes over your TV and your radio, and it'll tell you there's an emergency, and it'll usually say the National Weather Service has predicted or has activated the emergency communication system. And it'll tell you there's a tornado warning or, you know, in the event of a hurricane in a coastal area, a coastal hurricane warning. And it'll tell you, you know, seek shelter and get off the streets and all that other basic safety stuff. We also have a HF net that happens between the Homeland Security umbrella of agencies and then the amateur radio operators and MARS in the events that, you know, things get really out of hand. And this, there's just no way around the fact that there's going to be loss of life and massive loss of property. And then there's your local storm spotter nets that are on your VHF and UHF repeater systems, where the National Weather Service will activate their storm spotters that are trained. And depending on how many teams need to be involved, there may just be one repeater system, or there may be several repeater systems with a liaison repeater where all of the different net controls report to, and then that repeater liaison operator will then notify the National Weather Service of all the reports they get.
And how much time is given? I mean, if I take, say, Japan or Taiwan for a moment, Japan has a tsunami warning system and an earthquake warning system. And if memory serves me correctly, for tsunamis, they can usually give between 7 to 15 minutes notice. For earthquake warnings, it's 10 to 12 seconds notice. What about for tornadoes?
Well, for tornadoes, depending on the area and depending on whether or not you have a meteorologist that sees a hook echo before a spotter sees it, and they can get the warning out that way, or depending on if a spotter calls it in via whatever mode of communication is there to use at the time, and depending on what mode of communication is the fastest, you know, it can take usually no more than a minute for them to receive a notification from one of us in the field. But then once it hits broadcast media, it can take up to 5 minutes. from the time they receive the report, because they actually have to go and look at the radar, they have to confirm the report, and then they have to get the report out. So you're looking from the time they receive the report to the time it gets out to the public, anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes.
Now, let's talk about the communications, because we've seen during other disasters before, and it has happened where there's a communication breakdown because you have so many different departments involved. You have fire department, you have ambulance service, you have police service. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Is there, for example, one central communication base to communicate with the different agencies involved that are, let's say, for saving lives or for other things to prevent a communications breakdown?
I've never seen a free-for-all. I've never heard of it happening, although it's possible that in the absolute worst of natural disasters, you can have that happen where systems break down and they have to call on the very last, you know, in line to help them communicate, in which case it would be the amateur operators. But in the event that they need everybody to work together, there is one central command. It's actually in Oklahoma, believe it or not. And so they will then compile all the information and work as a joint and a unifying command system to take and get all that information out to everybody as one piece of information, and then everybody takes that, and they have a system that they work under. So the medics are doing their medical thing. The hospitals are preparing for the medics to bring their injured and other folks in, and law enforcement is doing their job. And in the event that the National Guard would be needed in the state, they're doing their job. So everybody knows their place.
When the communication system does break down, do ham radio operators respond?
Oh, absolutely, but they do not ever, as a rule, self-deploy. They're called out through the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, which is an agency of the American Radio Relay League. They can be called out by their existing RACES leaders, which is the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency System, and they get called out by that. And so these people then, RACES and ARIES, a lot of them are one now, except in some places where they still function separately, but they still are the left and right hand for each other and work together in different respects. So they do come into play, and when they come in, they know what they're doing because they're given specific orders to do very specific things.
Many years ago, Dan, I remember, I think it was more than 20 years ago, visiting a Radio Shack in upstate New York in the United States. And they had these radios that they were selling, which were weather radios. Now, I don't even know if they're even still selling these anymore. But would you say that people that live in Tornado Alley, that a lot of people would have these radios at home?
You would hope they do. And the National Weather Service is constantly telling people, as well as, you know, the local sheriff's departments and the local emergency management agencies are telling these folks, look, get a weather radio and have your SAME tone programmed in, so that way you get the local tone for your area, and keep that thing active and plugged in. Keep it charged if it's running on battery power or whatever, because you never know when something will happen. I mean, not every storm is going to be predicted ahead of time. It happens all the time where storms just pop up, and they can become very strong and very violent very quickly and produce tornadoes. And before anybody knows what happened, it's all done and over with. It can happen just that quickly. So you need a weather radio, or have a scanner or a piece of amateur radio equipment with your local weather service frequencies in it, and your local sheriff's department, your local law enforcement, your local fire department, because, you know, amateur radio operators are not called up until the weather becomes severe and until they see an actual need for them. So you're not always going to have spotters on the ground with, you know, moment-to-moment radio access unless the National Weather Service sees a need for it. And, I mean, there are people that are not licensed amateurs that are on the ground that are trained spotters. They're out there. They're doing their thing. And sometimes they're in the right place at the right time, and sometimes they just don't hit pay dirt, so you never know.
Dan Hensley, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And that was Media Network Plus's U.S. correspondent, Dan Hensley. You are listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
And I should mention that any messages sent to our answer line will be used on the program. Now, I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about PCJ Radio International and the broadcasts that we have been putting on the air to Southeast and East Asia. They began on May the 19th. The time is 13 to 14 hours UTC. Now, the frequency that we used at the beginning for 2 weeks was 11750. But we had a number of monitors and listeners in East and Southeast Asia contacting us saying it's a good frequency. So that was the positive side. The downside, as I mentioned, I think, on last week's program, is that 11750 is also used by Radio Havana Cuba's Spanish service to Latin America, and they're using a 200 kilowatt for that. So during the time that we were on the air in certain regions of the world, mainly Australia and the west coast of North America, including Latin America, there was a lot of co-channel interference. So we were trying to decide what to do next. Either it was to stay on 11750 kilohertz or to move frequency. We decided to change frequency. So the new frequency, beginning this Sunday, June 2nd, that's June 2nd, is 118350. That's 118350. So do let us know what reception is like. The next thing about these transmissions that we have been doing is they've now been expanded. After June 2nd, the next transmissions will be June 9th, June 16th, June 23rd, June 30th, and July 7th. So from this Sunday, June 2nd, clear, to July 7th on Sundays between 13 and 14 hours UTC. Now, as I mentioned, we just moved to a new frequency which we will use this week, which is 11835. I cannot tell you right now if we will continue using this frequency for the next few weeks. It all depends on the feedback that we get from listeners, whether or not there's any type of interference. If there isn't any interference, we will stay there. But if there is interference, we will change frequency again. Somebody who's been a very big help with these transmissions is Victor Gunatelica, our good friend Victor Gunatelica. He has been sending out the email version of our QSL card. And he's been very busy at that. He just spent nearly, I think, over a month in Australia, flew back to Colombo in Sri Lanka, and started sending out the EQSLs at around 5 o'clock in the morning. So he is sending them out, and we've also been getting some here in Taiwan, which you'll be receiving a paper version, a printed version of the QSL card. And in the printed version of the QSL card, there's also some other little trinkets as well. Now, let me give you the contact details right now if you want to monitor our transmission between 13 and 14 hours UTC on Sundays. This Sunday is on 11835 kilohertz. The email address to receive a eQSL card from our good friend Victor Gunatelica is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Once again, PCJQSL@PCJMedia.com. If you wish to send it in via snail mail, our postal address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, lane 31, Sanmin Road, section 1, Banqiao, New Taipei City, Taiwan, 22070, Republic of China. And I'll say that again, PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, number 47, Lane, L-A-N-E, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, which is spelt S-A, N like Norman, M like Mother, I like Ivan, N like Norman, Sanmin Road, Section, S-E-C-T-I-O-N, 1, Section 1, Banqiao, which is B-A-N-C-I-A-O, New Taipei City, Taiwan, and the zip code is 22070, and that's in the Republic of China. So do let us know. And those who will be receiving the paper version of the QSL are also going to be receiving a little thank you gift at the same time. I think after we did our first transmission on May 19th, we started getting reception reports in immediately from Japan 2 days later via snail mail. So talk about fast service. Anyway, what can we expect propagation-wise with these transmissions? Well, here's our propagation guru, Dan Hensley, with more.
Here's propagation from June 1st to June 7th, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux of 110 from June 1st to June 4th, 115 on June 5th, 120 on June 6th, spiking at 130 on June 7th. The A index for the week starts out on June 1st at 15, dropping down to 8 on June 2nd and then stable at 5 from June 3rd to June 7th. The KP index starts out at 4 on June 1st, dropping down to 3 on June 2nd, stabilizing at 2 all week long from June 3rd to June 7th. Sunspots 1755 through 59 are in view this week. For 3 days in a row this week, Earth has experienced a remarkably fast solar wind stream blowing around the planet, causing magnetic unrest around the poles as well as elevated levels of high-energy electrons in Earth orbit. NOAA cautions satellite operators that satellite systems may experience significant charging in response to accumulated electrons. A solar wind from a coronal hole on the sun's west central region will hit Earth from June 2nd to June 3rd. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley, for this week's propagation. So hopefully propagation will be good this coming Sunday, June 2nd, between 13 and 14 hours UTC on 11835 kilohertz. Now, the hour consists of 15 minutes of news and information in a 15-minute version of Focus Asia Pacific, presented by Andy Sennett, followed by the Happy Station Show with yours truly. We have two special guests this week on the show. One is Victor Gunatelica, and then we have a special guest of who I'm not going to tell you about. Before we go, I do want to take a couple of minutes to tell you about PCJ Radio's Radiogram service, which is every Sunday from 0227 UTC to 0230 UTC. So 0227 UTC to 0230 UTC, and the frequency for that is 9955 kilohertz. That's 9955 kilohertz. The setting for this week's radiogram is MFSK64. That's MFSK64. And if you do tune into those broadcasts, do let us know here on the program, Media Network Plus, and we will send you a QSL as well. But you have to, you can't just say you heard the signal. No. You have to be able to decode the text that we send out, which includes Dan's propagation forecast and some other things, sometimes serious, sometimes not. If you wish to contact us here on the program, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, by visiting our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. So, on behalf of Dan Hensley, who does a marvelous job as always, and Paulette McQuarrie, who's on vacation again, I've got to talk to her. I think I should take the same kind of vacations that she does. Lucky woman. Wonder if she's visiting any vineyards this time. Not sure. We'll find out soon enough. This is Keith Powell wishing you well, hoping that we'll see you again very soon. So until next time, friends, so long, and see you in 7 days' time. 73 and 88 to the ladies.
집에 내 발신 O amor se foi perdido, foi tão distraído que nem me avisou. Foi. O amor se foi calado, tão desesperado. Que me machucou. É como se a gente pressentisse tudo que o amor disse. Diz agora essa aflição e ficou o cheiro pelo ar. Ficou o medo de ficar vazio demais, meu coração. Foi, o amor se foi perdido. Se foi calado, tão desesperado que me maltratou. Gente pressentisse tudo que o amor não disse. Diz agora essa aflição e ficou o cheiro pelo ar. Ficou o medo de ficar vazio demais, meu coração. Se foi perdido, foi tão distraído que nem me avisou. Foi, o amor se foi calado, tão desesperado que me matou.